You're listening to a 1FM podcast.
It's that time of the week again. I've got Steve on the line. How is it going, Steve?
Yeah, I'm going quite well, Josh. I'm actually talking to you from downtown Lakes Entrance.
Oh, so lucky.
having a bit of a holiday and just had a stupendous lunch at a place called the Bull Ant Brewery in Bruthen. I can highly recommend it if anybody can be bothered going that far down to in our great state.
We're not sure if we should give them a plug. They've got to be a sponsor, but I think it's okay because they're in Lake Entrance, so I think they're a bit out of our listening area, yeah. So I think we can get away with it.
They're 5.5 hours away from you, Josh.
Yeah, I think that's okay, but yeah, sounding good, but I'm glad you had a good lunch.
Yeah, it was magnificent. So hopefully we'll get through without making any untoward noises. I think I'll be okay, thanks.
Okay, well, as long as I don't cough as well, so my voice is slowly getting there.
All right, well, we'll try and avoid all those sorts of things. Now, Josh, today we've got an Australian person who will be fairly well known to us oldies and probably quite a few of the new generation too. His name's Frank Ifield.
I thought he was British.
Well, he was born in the UK to Australian parents, to my knowledge.
Okay, so he's got the best of both worlds.
So we can identify him as both, and we'll stick with the fact that I put up here at the top, he was an Anglo-Aussie, so there you go. So
he's good, so we'll claim him if he did something bad with his English.
Yeah, that's right, but I think most of the stuff's pretty good, actually. Now, Francis Edward Ifield was born on the 30th of November 1937 at a place called Coundon, C-O-U-N-D-O-N, Coventry, UK, to Richard Joseph and Hannah Muriel. And he was one of seven sons. Now, his parents had travelled to England in 1936 from Australia, where his father was an inventor and an engineer, and he created what was called the Ifield fuel pump for Lucas Industries, and that was a particular pump was used in jet aircraft. So it was quite a big thing for new airlines. Now, they returned to Australia in January 1948, so this is quite a deal later, and lived near a place called Dural, D-U-R-A-L, which was 50K northwest of Sydney.
Dural? Sorry, did you say Dural?
Dural, D-U-R-A-L.
I think I had a holiday there once.
Oh, there you go. Every time I bring up some place you've been.
A long time ago, but yeah.
Oh, that's very good. I don't know of it myself. It's 50K northwest of Sydney, so not that far out, really. Yeah. Now, but back then it was classified as being a rural district. And because of that, he listened to a lot of what was then called hillbilly or country music. He learned guitar and ukulele, and he taught himself to yodel. Oh. And he was imitating a country star such as Hank Snow, who was Canadian-American country hillbilly singer back in about the 40s and 50s. Now, the family then moved to a place called Beecroft, which was about 28K northwest of Sydney. And he appeared on a local radio station there, 2GB, it's called Amateur Hour, and it was only 13 at the time, and he performed a song which he later recorded as his first single, and it was called Did You See My Daddy Over There? I'm not familiar with the song, and that was in 1953. And at the end of that year, he was regularly on Brisbane radio station 4BK, a show called Youth Parade, where all the artists were under 21, as befits the title. Now, by 1956, the TV had arrived. He was actually hosting a show called Campfire Favourites on TV Channel 9, TCN 9 in Sydney. And he was actually the first country and Western program compared by a local artist on TV. And in this period of time, he actually recorded six songs. And at that stage, there was no record of where these songs actually charted. They might have charted locally, to my knowledge. Now, in 1957, he recorded a song called Whiplash, which is actually a theme song for a British-Australian TV series of the same name. I don't know whether you'd be familiar with this, Josh, because this was fairly late 50s. And this show starred Peter Graves.
Okay, I've heard of him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now, he recorded that song, that was the theme song for that show. Now, this is another song he recorded, was called Guardian Angel. Now, this reached number one on local charts, and this was actually toured the North Island of New Zealand in 1959. Now, two other songs and are called True and Teenage Baby were both top 30 hits. I'm not familiar with any, either of those two songs because I think they're all fairly localised. Now, he returned to the UK in November 1959, and this is when it all started to happen for him, albeit slowly at first. Now, a song called Lucky Devil reached number 22 in the UK in 1960, but it wasn't until May 1962 that the song that we all relate to Frank Ifield, I Remember You, and this came along and topped the charts in the UK for 7 weeks and also in Australia, and it reached number 5 in the US, so that was a pretty big effort. And then he had the songs, and I'll just give you those in chronological order, and the numbers are in UK, Australian and US. That's the order. He had Lovesick Blues, that was 1, 2 and 44. In 1963, he had The Wayward Wind, which was 1 and 16 in Australia, nowhere in the US. Nobody's Darling But Mine, number 4 and 41. And Confessing That I Love You, which was number 1 in the UK, 24 Australia and 58 in the US. And the last one, which was 1964, was a song called Please, and this finished at number 5 in Australia. I might add here that there were about a half a dozen other songs which were top 40 hits in the UK, but nowhere else. But the very interesting fact about this, The Wayward Wind, was notable in the fact that it made him the first UK-based artist, not the first UK artist that we're talking about, UK-based artist, to have 3 successive number one hits on the UK charts. Now, the only other person to have done so was a guy by the name of Presley.
Yeah.
So, and I might add just a little personal aside here. We were watching a show on the TV, my wife and I were watching a show on the TV called Pointless, the very day after I'd finished actually writing this up. And it was asking, one of the questions that was they were asking was, can you name anybody that had 2 or more number one hits in the UK? And in the 60s. And I just piped up to Alan, well, I think Frank Ifield actually qualifies for that. And the contestant on the show actually said, Frank Ifield. I nearly fell off the chair. It was quite an amazing coincidence that I finished the spiel and his name came up on this particular show. The answer was actually correct too, that the person gave, but they actually won a prize out of it, which was quite good. Now, not many of his songs were produced by a fellow called Norrie Paramore. And I might remember Norrie Paramore. He was the fellow who managed Helen Shapiro, did some producing for Helen Shapiro and also Cliff Richards and The Shadow. Now, he ignored management advice not to yodel because it supposedly would brand him just as that sort of a singer. But at a Royal Variety performance in November 1962, he actually yodeled a song called She Taught Me How to Yodel based on a specific request by the Queen Mother for a yodeling song. And in 1963, he sang at the Grand Old Opry, produced by one of his heroes of the aforementioned Hank Snow. He's featured on a little EP, an 8-record track called Jolly Jolly What, which is now not in existence, I don't think. And this was produced by a record company called VJ, who had US distribution rights to both the Beatles and Ifield. And this is a 1964 compilation of 8 Ifield and 4 Beatles songs. But it was basically an attempt to cash in on Beatlemania. As I said before, I don't think that is actually in existence anymore. Now, he twice unsuccessfully entered the UK heats for the Eurovision Song Contest. Another person who decided to do that. And in 1972, he finished second. And in 1976, he finished last. So he was unsuccessful in getting up for that for the Eurovision Song Contest. Now, in 1986, he contracted pneumonia. Now, this required surgery to remove part of a lung, and that damaged his vocal cords, meaning he couldn't sing or yodel for years until they recovered, which is fairly deadly for a singer, I dare say, those sorts of things. Now, but in 1991, he had a dance remix called The Yodeling Song, and this reached number 40 on the UK charts, which made that was his 16th song that had made the UK top 40, which is quite an achievement when you think about it. Now, in 2003, he was inducted into the Australian Hall of Renown, which honours Australian and New Zealand musicians' contributions to country music. In 2007, inducted into the ARIA Music Awards Hall of Fame. And in 2009, the Mo Awards Hall of Fame, which both recognise the artist's contribution to Australian music. in June 2009. He's presented with the Medal of the Order of Australia. He was married twice, once to, first of all, to Gillian Bowden, to whom he had two children with, and also to a Carol Wood, who he's still married to. That was in 1992, he married her. So that's basically the story of Frank Ifield. I put down here a unique singer, internationally successful, and he deserves his place in Australian music folklore, Josh.
Yeah, very good. And what song did you want to hear first?
Well, my personal preference from Frank Ifield is not I Remember You, but we will definitely play that one. But I think I'd like A Wayward Wind to start off with, please.
Okay, and here is A Wayward Wind. You're listening to 1FM. And there we go. Yeah, Frank Ifield, A Wayward Wind.
That's right. Now, the other song that I requested, Josh, please, I Remember You, which is, of course, the one that put him on the map, a song called Please. And the other one is Confessing That I Love You.
Can we do that? And I know one from him, Abdul Abubul Amir. Do you know that one?
Well, you always throw these curveball ones at me, Josh. I don't know. Not familiar.
No, because it's an old folk one. And one of the presenters here, Harrow, if you're listening, hi, Harrow, play it one night. And I came in and like, oh, my God, that was the tune my pop used to always sing.
So I
didn't know it was actual song, so there you go. Look it up.
Well, perhaps you might want to play it if you've got time to throw that one in too. You can put that one in there too.
Yeah, it's an old folk one. It's been covered many a times, but they used to sing it in the army. But I think he had success with it in the 50s or something.
Right. Well, that's fine. Josh, that's fine by me. That's no problem.
Yeah.
You can go with that.
Yeah.
So that's it, Frank Ifield certainly earned his name in Australian British folk. I can't say folklore, really, can I? But in Australian music circles.
And he's still going strong as well. He's still alive.
He's still alive. I thought you'd be pleased to know that, Josh.
Yeah. Oh, good.
But he's still with us about an age, what would it be, 85? Yeah, he'd be 85 in November, end of November this year. So that's good going.
That is. Hopefully you'll get there and plenty more. But thanks, Steve. Look forward to talking to you next week and enjoy the rest of your holiday down Lake Entrance.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for that. Well, as you speak, the sun has come out, Josh, so I think that's quite significant. And I might add that next week, it'll be a very interesting one, but I won't give away any further information at this stage, because if I say too much, everybody will know who it is. So that's it. I'm not saying any more.
Well, you haven't really narrowed it down. Someone interesting.
I'm not going to give you any clues, but I'm sure that you personally will be interested in who it is anyway.
Okay.
And to you and the listeners, hope everybody's in good health and stay out of trouble. And look forward to catching up next week.
Yeah, take care. Thanks, Steve, and all the best.
Have a good one. See you later, mate.
See ya.
Bye. You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.